Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, very good. And welcome back to the podcast there, Todd.
Yeah, thanks. I had a nice break. We'll talk about that, why you should take a break and when to take a break here in a little bit. But we got a lot of stuff today. We're going to be talking about some stuff in the news and best practice. We're going to talk about stuff going on at Blueberry. Of course, we've got an interview today with Dan Smolin from the Tightrope podcast, which is pretty awesome. We're going to talk about some support stuff and the importance of really some basic podcast 101 stuff. So we'll get into that in a minute. But Mike, you're kind of more up to speed on this than I am, but macOS Catalina is breaking a bunch of stuff, isn't it?
Yep. And definitely, if those of you that are using Audacity specifically, if you upgrade to Catalina, Audacity is not supported because it's 16-bit right now, or 32-bit, I mean. And so pretty much anything that relies on a 32-bit architecture is not going to run in Catalina.
Wow.
Older versions of Photoshop and Audition as well, because anything that's pre where you have to rent it in Adobe software is also not going to work. So if you're on a Mac, please hold off.
So what's the word from Audacity? Are they going to be updating to support 64-bit, or what's the word?
Yeah, that's what I understand. They have a post there, which we'll have a link to in the show notes, that tells about, hold off, we're working on it, but Audacity is an open source project. So, how long that's going to take, who knows?
It's kind of surprising then that Apple has put the hammer on any 32-bit software. So I'm sure that a lot of stuff is broke, because I use some software that's a little long in the tooth as well. My ID3 Tag Writer is a little bit older. I don't know if it's 64 or not, but it is interesting that they're killing anything that's 32-bit software.
Yeah, well, they've warned the last couple of versions of macOS. They've warned that, like when you start up, like I have the older version of Photoshop here, one of the ones that I actually paid for.
Sure.
and own. And whenever I open it, it says, this isn't going to be supported in future versions of macOS, or something like that. So it's been warning us for a while.
Gotcha. Well, I guess that's fair warning. And if you are, if you're using Audacity, which I know a lot of podcasters do because it's free, you may be in for a bit of a surprise there to do when you do that update. If you haven't, if you haven't been warned like you have on this show, or aware of what's going on. So anywhere. Be careful if you're using Audacity and you're thinking about updating your macOS to the new Catalina version. I don't even think I've been prompted to update Catalina on. Is Catalina out? I'm not even paid attention, Mike.
Yeah, it's out. Make sure you have auto updating turned off just in case they try to sneak it in on you.
Yeah.
But it is out.
Well, we'll have to, be aware there. Also, according to my cast reviews, and that's the new thing by Daniel J. Lewis, he says that Apple's broken 750 podcasts in their directory and they approved 2,200 new shows in just one day. That sounds pretty big.
Yeah, 750,000 podcasts.
That's right, 750,000, yeah.
Yeah, and 2,200 new podcasts in a day, and I think I heard somewhere else that they even broke that record since.
Huh.
But for a daily amount of podcasts, but yeah, they've been kind of batching them up. I've noticed lately, it's been taking 3, 4, 5 days, and then all of a sudden a whole bunch of them get approved.
Hmm.
So
they're not onesie twosing them as they come in. They're just, they're, like you said, they're doing them as a batch. So that might be fair warning for someone that is thinking about doing a show, our new show, and they're planning to launch on a certain date, that episode 0 is probably going to be a, important thing to pay attention to.
Sure. And do the episode 0, and you can always take it back out if you don't want to have it in there after you get your first real episode up, but helps you to get in a little quicker, or at least when you plan on being available.
Right. Well, there was a little bit of announcement that came out of Spreaker that I thought was a little weird. Spreaker announced that they're now finally, which we thought was already the case, using IAB certified stats for their customers. And, you know, Spreaker was one of those, I think they were like the third company to become IAB certified. And it was months ago. And for them to announce that just their Spreaker users are just now being switched over and that they should expect some adjustments, to me is like, what, why, how come, why has it took so long? And so apparently their VoxNest platform, which is part of their advertising network, has been using the IAB certified numbers since certification, but the actual Spreaker users themselves have not. So there may be some pain coming from some of those Spreaker users who are seeing an adjustment.
Yeah, seemed to me that NPR was doing kind of the same thing too. When for a while there, they were using a different platform than what they had certified. But yeah, it is kind of strange, but I guess it's good they're getting back in line here.
Yeah, we've been getting some customers that are migrating to us of coming from Podiant too. We've had some folks that are basically been on their platform as part of, I guess, their community. I guess a community podcast of some sort. They had some sort of offering for community podcasts that was free. And I don't know the full details, but apparently that is going away.
Right. Yeah. They had some sort of program where if you served certain communities and whatever, they gave you free hosting and it was part of their communities program. And they announced that that was going to be going away January 1st.
So they're making them pay now, which is causing us to get some customers that are rolling in and moving their shows. So it's interesting that they would stop that. So they must have found that the ability to give away content, to give away hosting is a bigger challenge than maybe what they thought, because, you know, bandwidth still costs money.
Yeah, they had an outage not too long ago as well and ended up switching whatever their back-end platform, and the CEO of Podiant was saying that it was much more expensive than what they had been using. So maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah, potentially. Well, you know, we've known for a long time that infrastructure cost and bandwidth costs are a significant portion of our business. And, you know, when you get to a point where you have to use a bank transfer to pay the Amazon bill or pay the CDN bill versus putting it on the credit card, you know, you're moving some traffic and using some information services. So anyway, it's part of their growing pains. But anyway, if you have known any shows over at Podiant, they're looking for a home, send them over our way. We'll get them set up and hooked up and taken care of. Let's talk a little bit about best practices. As many of you may or may not know, I basically just taken about 2 weeks off and take 2 weeks off from my personal show, taken 2 weeks off from this show. Immediately following the International Podcast Day, I kind of took a break. Actually, was sick for a week as well. But the I think, you know, the way I look at taking a break is that there is a time and a place in which you can take a break from your show, and as long as you're very informative of your audience members, you can do so. Now, I'm at 15 years now. I've passed the 15-year mark of podcasting. I've very rarely taken more than a week off, and I think this is the first time I've ever taken really almost 2 weeks off. And but you know, in the beginning, I think the rule still applies. You really can't take a break the first couple of years that you're doing your show. You have to be in your folks' ear, you know, every week. If you're doing a weekly show, it's, you know, you got to be in there every week, like time work. Now, I'm lucky that this show that we've just launched, actually, it's a extension of what was your podcast, which is, you know, now Podcast Insider, which is at 161 episodes from the series here at Blueberry. You know, we've got a team. You know, if I'm not here, Mike can pull from Mackenzie, and Mackenzie can pull, you know, we can substitute people in, and it's no issue. We can have a podcast out every week. But for your personal show, I really still think it's a good idea to go the first couple of years. And if you do take a break in those first couple of years, you know, announce it well in advance and how long you're going to be out, and maybe have some supplementary content, or even allow someone to come in and guest podcast. And I've done that in the past. But I basically
I've guested on your personal show a few times.
Yeah. So I basically just told my audience I need a break. And I took one. And I actually took a little longer one than I thought. But it's one of those things where you can, sometimes you just need to recharge. And I'm long enough in the space and having done enough episodes. As a matter of fact, it kind of comes as a weird time because I'm sitting at 1498. Tonight I'll record 1499. And then next week in Columbus, I'll record 1500 or 1400, 1398, 1399. So for me, it's coming up on a milestone show too. So I took a break right before a milestone show, which is even more odd and probably not advisable. Matter of fact, some of my audience members were complaining about it, but I think that you just need to know when to be able to take a break. And if you're getting burned out and you need a break, even if you're not at that 2-year mark, then maybe it's advisable to take one.
Yeah, don't burn yourself out. And I kind of solved that by being sort of inconsistent with my personal shows. And, hey, you know, my audience expects that they're not going to get episodes on a regular basis.
Right.
And, that hurts my audience growth, of course. But on the other hand, I'm an advanced hobbyist rather than trying to make a living at it.
True. So for me, really, this was, and I could probably have taken a little longer break. Sometimes you just need to step away a little bit. And I guess a vacation from a vacation is almost what I need, but it's kind of funny. But I am, and I think it's advisable as you're growing your show to, when you kind of hit that wall and you need a little time off to take that time. But again, the first couple of years, I'm still of the belief that you shouldn't take any time off those first couple of years you do your show. Mike, any thoughts on that at all? Or,
well, like I said, it depends on how seriously you're taking your audience growth and all that, because like I said, I'm the king of inconsistency. This show here is the only consistent thing I do in podcasting. So, I'm probably not the poster child for doing it the right way. But if you really want to grow your audience, being consistent and all that is good, and know when to take a break, because
right,
your shows are going to suffer if you're burning out.
Yeah. And I had a pretty heavy run this summer, move, build the studio, get everything set up. And when I kind of got everything done here, and I was kind of like, and I'm like, I'm tired,
You had a lot going on.
They had a lot. And plus all the travel. And the travel continues. So, So anyway, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I think all of you get the point, that we're not always machines. I'd like to think I am, but, even podcast professionals, which I consider myself, need to walk away from the mic from time to time. So
definitely,
let's lead into big news coming.
Yeah. The network plugin that we've been working on is nearly ready to demo.
Yeah, it's close. Now, you were on the site, and I don't dare say which site, but did you get a look around a little bit, Mike, and what did you think of how it looked?
It looks way better than the previous version of it.
Well, that's true. And we've got to get the TPN TV blog moved over. And I've got some stuff to do on Sidebar for graphics and some other stuff. But pretty much the site is ready to go. And the plugin is ready to go. And we're excited about this, because what we're going to do is we're going to make this part of our Pro offering. We've decided to bundle it into Pro.
Nice.
And it's going to be real nice. So people that are on Pro hosting with us, get the plugin for free. Now, there is some pricing tiers depending upon if you've got shows hosting with us or not. We'll have that in the announcement, likely late next week. But, I'm very excited to be able to demo this and show it off to the community and to see what we've built and what's possible to building a network. And I would fully expect us to start rolling out some mini networks to be part of our examples, and some of our affiliates are going to be also rewarded because we're going to hook them up as well some of our top affiliates are actually going to get access to the plugin as well. So, this has been a long time coming, and it's close to being where we need it to be to release it on this version. And then we'll continue to add features as we're, as we get demand. So I'm excited to be at this point with it and be able to get this thing on the street here. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, and that'll definitely change from our old system that we had. And kind of a sort of preview of it is how the Blueberry directory looks.
Right.
That's not exactly the same thing, but pretty darn close.
Yeah, really, really close. And our new social tools and all this, you know, basically the new subscribe sidebars, and it's they go under. Yeah, I'm really jazzed where we're at on that. So I think people will be excited to see this look. I've just basically been red penning a couple of things and telling them to tweak some stuff. But otherwise, we're very close to be ready to rock and roll here. And I need to review documentation and make sure we've got that all set so that when we do cut this loose and we have customers use it, they know how to implement it, because there's a lot of short codes that are being used to actually display stuff on the page, which is kind of cool. And it's in WordPress, obviously.
Right. Yeah, so that's all WordPress-based stuff. So you're on the road again.
Yeah, so I go to Columbus next week, but on the 24th, I fly out to San Antonio. And I'll be in San Antonio for the Texas Podcast Conference and be down there and speaking twice. I'll be speaking on business podcasting and why you should podcast if you're a business. And this is more of a business-related event. And also on the second day, I'm going to be talking about what we really talk about here a lot on this show is the importance of building your brand on your .com and why you need a podcast host. So some podcast 101 stuff on day two. So, excited to go down to San Antonio. I think this is actually my first trip to San Antonio. So,
I spent 6 weeks there one summer for basic training.
Oh, so yeah, that's right. That's where, the Air Force does their basic training on it. What is it? Lackland, or what's the name of the Air Force base?
Yeah. Lackland Air Force Base. Now I think it's called, Lackland Kelly something.
Something, yeah.
Some joint base weird thing, but it was Lackland Air Force Base at the time.
So, be in San Antonio, and, I think New Tech is in San Antonio. I have to check. Maybe I go over there and say hello to those gang, but, I'll be back then in the following. I'll be back in the office again. And, Vernon Ross, who's one of our enterprise sales folks, he's going to be coming in from Kansas City and spending a few days in the office and getting up to speed. So I'm excited to have Vernon in the office the week. And then we're right into November. So, it's going to be a busy time. And the travel continues.
Yep, sounds like it. So anyway, I just interviewed a guy, Dan Smolin. Does a show called The Tightrope. As we're recording this, I recorded it about an hour ago. So
wow,
so fresh off the presses. But we do need you to step up and be interviewed on this show. But Dan does a show called The Tightrope, and it's all about doing meaningful work. And he has some pretty cool stories, and we even talk about pizza, which made me hungry.
It's so funny.
Anyway, we'll go ahead and roll that.
All right. Here's Dan Smolin, The Tightrope at dansmolin.com.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for coming on Podcast Insider.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be here.
Yeah. So we were just talking a little bit before here, and so we got all the levels right and everything. And I told you I wasn't going to edit, but I probably will if we need to. Tell us a little bit about your podcast. I think it's called The Tightrope with Dan Smolin.
That's right. It's a career podcast. It's for people who are seeking work that is perhaps more profound and fun to do than they're doing currently. The focus is really about what I call meaningful work. And the definition of that is work that can be profound, is protective of the planet, empowers people and communities, and is fun to do.
Nice. Yeah, I listened to a couple of your episodes there, and very, very nice. And I like your style. You know, you kind of ease into it, and you talk about all sorts of things.
Well, thank you for that. My parents sent me to a prestigious communication school where, among other things, I learned to be a broadcaster. So I guess their return on investment is finally coming true after all these years.
Yeah, there you go. But so what made you start the podcast? I always ask about the origin stories. There's just so many different reasons people get into this, and we'd love to hear about yours.
Well, if you want to go back to the true origin story, you got to go back 40 years to when I was a first year student at the Park School of Communications at Ithaca College in upstate New York, where, as I mentioned, I was learning to become a broadcaster. I was really ambitious back then. I had somewhat of a journalism background. I was a co-editor of my school paper. We won some awards doing that. I loved to write. And I really wanted to be on radio. There was something about being on radio that really enchanted me. And so I got my opportunity very early on in college. My first semester on campus, I was on the radio doing reporting. And within a year, I was already filing AP wire stories and being interviewed by other radio stations about news I was covering. And I was hooked. But here's the problem. When I graduated college, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for me in broadcasting. So I made a pivot. I got into advertising. I was a so-called madman on Madison Avenue, working for big advertising agencies. And that was fun until it wasn't. And after about 15 years, I decided to become an executive recruiter, what some people call a headhunter. And I did that for 20 years, placed people in great jobs, worked with a lot of really great companies and big brands. And I did that until it wasn't fun anymore. And I guess the really important pivot in my career, and the one that got me into podcasting, was being a recruiter. You work for who pays for you, who pays for the invoice. That's the hiring manager. But so often I got to meet thousands of really great people who wanted to further their careers, and I got to place many of them. But at the end, I felt like I wasn't doing a good enough job for them. I wasn't speaking to their concerns. So I got into podcasting first as an extension of my previous brand, which was called The Green Suits. It was my recruiting company that, among other things, covered the so-called green spaces, social responsibility, environmental sustainability, things like that. But then I got to a point where, when I didn't want to do recruiting anymore, I closed up my recruiting practice and I blew up the podcast and started over again. And I came up with this idea of the podcast. And interestingly enough, Mike, I was listening to the radio one day and I heard a great musician, Leon Russell, singing the song The Tightrope, or Tightrope as it was titled. And I said, that's what I want to call my new podcast. And the reason I did is because it spoke to sort of the walk we do over this cavern from doing work that we don't like or we find meaningless to something really good at the other end of the tightrope. And I built a whole podcast around that. And I've been doing that now a little over 2 years.
Yeah. And like I said, it goes right along with your recruiting experience. And yeah, I know what you mean about the tightrope. I worked in graphic arts for 20 something years, and before that in aviation, and you pivot. And now I'm doing, what I consider very meaningful work, trying to keep all you podcasters flying right.
Well, props to you and the team. You got us set up. I love working with Blueberry. It is such a joy to work with you all, and the technology is fantastic. It works like a dream. And for a guy like me, who right now all I'm doing is end-to-end podcasting, you make that aspect of streaming my content so easy, and the integration with PowerPress is great. I just love it. So thank you for your pivot into meaningful work, Mike.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it sounds very much like, you know, your career bouncing from this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, finding meaningful things to do and helping others to do that, and then letting others tell their stories about those things.
Okay, well, that's the really important thing. I can only do so much. I can describe the idea of meaningful work, but isn't it better to spend some time on your morning drive to work listening to somebody really great, like the guys we spoke to that started our season, Billy Jacobs, who's a serial entrepreneur and twice disrupted the food scene in Chicago by introducing fresh New York style bagels and then later New Haven style pizza to Chicago and being really successful, and letting him tell me about it, letting him tell the audience about it, about his meaningful work journey. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah, definitely. And now, why would you want to have anything but deep dish pizza in Chicago? But anyway, side note.
Well, because I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut with New Haven style pizza, which is, I guess, most like what they have on the Amalfi Coast of Italy near Napoli. And it's light, it's crispy, it's flavorful. And I had deep dish pizza once and I really didn't like it. And we talk about that with Billy. We talk about, you know, how did you feel about going into a community that is so tied to an iconic food staple?
Right.
And he was told by a lot of people, don't do it. And you know what? He did it. His restaurant is an unqualified success. His business partner is from Cheap Trick. It's Rick Nielsen. The dude is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's his main business partner. And he loves being in the pizza business. It was a great it's one of many great stories that I've gotten to tell and that I hope to continue telling.
Yeah, I think I listened to part of that episode, and yeah, that's very cool. I you know, being from Michigan, you know, we have a hot dog rivalry with Chicago, so it's always fun to talk about Chicago food, cuz they tend to definitely be picky about stuff like that, or not picky, because, you know, there's a lot of people everywhere, and that's the thing. You can make a market in a place where you wouldn't think a market would happen. So that story was very cool. So what other really interesting stories have you come across?
Well, this coming week, which will be Friday, let's see, the 18th of October, I'm putting myself in front of an emotional intelligence expert by the name of Edith Richards. She's going to do what's called my EQ study. It's not like IQ, it's EQ. It's how I use my emotions and my intuition to manage and thrive in my day, in my work day, and my interactions with people. That's another thing I'm trying to do, Mike, which is allow myself to get a little naked with the audience, show my vulnerabilities. And, you know, some things come up in the study, which, I mean, it's not entirely perfect, but it's human. And if I can do that and show people it's okay to show your differences and sometimes even the things that need improvement, I think that makes the show better. It makes the show more relatable. Hopefully it makes me more relatable with my audience.
Certainly. And, you know, that's the beauty of podcasting as opposed to broadcasting, because with podcasting, you get to experiment with whatever you want to do, and you have a much tighter connection with your audience in most cases. Most podcasters, you know, at least the indie podcasters like us, you know, we have a personal relationship with our listeners, even if we don't know them. You know, right. We're in their ears, and, you know, that sounds very much, you know, like something you would not really be able to do on broadcast, as opposed to podcasting.
Well, that's true. And I let this go wherever it needs to go. Unlike broadcasting, where you have to manage to a stopwatch, we don't. An episode is as long as it needs to be, whether it is 29 minutes and 50 seconds or close to an hour. Now, mind you, I try to not let my content go too long because I'm mindful of the fact that our listeners are out and about. You know, a lot of people do listen in the car during their commutes. And a longer podcast means they may not get to hear the end of it. But I experiment with ways to make it more relevant. And an interesting thing we did when we set up this podcast, my business partner is a woman by the name of Carla Fleming. She had never worked with podcasts before, but she dug into this and helped me figure out some avatars, some people I can think about that would be our typical listeners. And that's important because it helps me to manage not only the sound and the content of the show, but also its duration. Some of our listeners want to get to their content really quickly, and they're like, the shorter the show, the better. I want to get to what you're talking about. Other people like a breezier presentation. They love to hear the sound of people talking. You know, it's like what my brother used to talk about. His favorite movie was My Dinner with Andre. And it was these two guys sitting down at a table at a dinner conversation, just having a conversation. And that's not for everybody, but it is for some people.
Right. That kind of reminds me of, what was it? You know who Mitch Albom is?
Yes. Yes, I do.
He did does a radio show or something now, but before he did a book, and it was basically, was it Dinner with Maury or something like that? Is that that's similar?
Some very, very similar. Yeah. And Maury was a friend of his who I guess passed away. But their conversations were so engaging that he wanted to memorialize the content, and it's riveting.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the same sort of thing. And I always say, you know, with podcast episode length, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, report that, oh, you should have it exactly 20 minutes or exactly 40 minutes or whatever, you know, figuring about the commute. But my thought is if you have 10 minutes worth of something to say, then make your podcast 10 minutes. Don't make it 15 minutes when you only have 10 minutes of content, because, you know, then it gets boring. Or don't try to cram 30 minutes of content into the 20 minutes, you know, because then it seems rushed.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I aim for whatever is right, whatever sounds right. And that comes out in the editing. I do a lot of editing. I do like 3 or 4 passes. The first one, I might have recorded an hour and 20 minutes of content. I'm not going to run it all. I'm asking questions that came into my head during the interview. I listen to it, and I might decide it's great. It's evergreen. It'll never go out of fashion. Or I might decide, well, that was a little too self-serving of me to ask. I'll take that out. It doesn't really serve the purpose of the podcast. But I try to get to what I think our growing audience wants to get to. And that's a combination of get me the value of the information quickly versus tell me a story.
Right. Yeah. So many podcasters, you know, that it's about storytelling, and then, you know, some others it's about education. It's about, you know, there's different, you know, genres, you know, not subject matter wise, but, you know, different types of podcasts, you know, like, you know, back when podcasting first started, there was a lot of what everybody called stream of consciousness podcasters, you know? So, so just, you know, like I do one like that, that basically it's just me whenever I want to flip on the microphone and I talk about whatever I want and I send it, you know, but that's not a podcast that a lot of people want to listen to. You know, there's a few. And
well, right. And a lot of that I'm still trying to figure out as I get to engage with my audience. I try to control what bothers me. The first thing that bothered me when I first got into podcasting was sound quality. Why? I grew up in one of the best broadcasting academic programs in the country. One of my professors from my first semester was this legendary broadcaster named Don Woodman. Don unfortunately has passed away. He was a wonderful man, but what he drilled into us was the quality of your presentation. And I listened to one of your earlier Podcast Insider episodes where you were talking about mics and technology. And I crumpled up when I heard how many people were using Snowball microphones.
Yeah.
And the reason why is my first microphone was a Snowball. And it was one of those plug and play mics. It was awful. And when I got done with my first season, much of the time, I just felt like the sound quality was so poor. I spent money liberally on getting broadcast quality technology because I wanted to get as close to a professional sounding experience as I could. Am I completely there? I'm about 85% there. I'm talking to you right now on a Shure SM7B microphone. I have four of them. I'm able to record group conversations at my guest's premises or in remote locations. I also have a Shure MV88 mic that I plug into my iPhone where I can pick up ambient sound or interview somebody on the fly. And it's raised the bar of my presentation. That I can control. I can also control the content. And then there's the stuff I have to learn from listeners. I spoke to one last night who had heard a podcast that we had done last year, and I was really proud of it. And she said, "Why weren't you more humorous in it?" And I was a little, first, I was a little taken aback. It was a serious topic. But I kind of saw her point. Some of our audience members, you know, they want to be entertained a little.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the most of those USB condenser mics, like, you know, the Snowball and the Yeti and all that, can be okay. You know, they're not impossible to make sound good, but man, you really have to control your environment for that kind of thing. And yeah, you sound great through Skype here, and I'm sure it's even better direct. Down in our studio in Columbus, we have SM7Bs in there, and Todd just switched to an SM7B, so I'm using RE20, you know, the old broadcast standard, you know.
You know, it's funny you should mention Columbus. I spent half a year there as a talk show booker. There was many, many years ago, there was a beta test called Cube, Q-U-B-E, which was at the time called the world's first two-way interactive cable system. And I was on a talk show and got to use a lot of really great technology there. And, you know, Columbus is part of my origin story, too, because I learned how to improve my use of technology in my presentation. We worked with a lot of really great talent.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where Blueberry's main office is in Columbus, where development and sales office is. And, of course, our Convo by Design studio, which Todd uses about half the time for this show. So, most of us podcasters are gearheads, you know. So, hearing about your technology is always interesting to a lot of us podcasters.
I'm not a gearhead. I know enough to get myself in a lot of trouble. As it is, I'm switching mixing software because the one I was using just isn't doing the job for me. It compresses signal in strange ways so that when it's streaming, it doesn't sound even or uniform. And so I just spent a lot of money for Journalist Pro, which is by Hindenburg, and I started playing with it this week and I love it, but I want to give myself enough time to kind of transition into it and maybe starting with my shows starting in 2020 start using it.
Yeah, Hindenburg Journalist is good. I've messed with it. I use Adobe Audition just because I kind of grew up on it you know, being a graphic artist, I was always using Adobe everything else. So I thought, right, well, for audio and video, I'll use Premiere and Audition, and, you know, got used to it. So, but yeah, I know a lot of people that use Hindenburg, and I believe Blueberry is actually integrated with Hindenburg. If you wanted to, you can upload right from there to Blueberry.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another value proposition. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we worked with them a couple of years ago getting that going via the API. And there's some other software out there that does that as well, where we're integrated, where once you're done editing and you compress it down to MP3, hit the upload button, and it'll be sitting there waiting for you on your folder in Blueberry.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I use PowerPress. So I don't know if that changes things. I don't. Really. I actually go through PowerPress on it, which I was a little daunted about it at first because I've been using WordPress for so many years. I gotta tell you, it's a fantastic setup. It's so clean. I get to, you know, I've got one place to download my content for streaming, do my show notes. Of course, those are, you know, all those episodes are arrayed on my podcast at dansmolin.com. So if anybody's listening to it, they can go to the podcast tab and then draw down to the episodes tab and then go to each individual episode, go through the show notes, and there's the player at the bottom of the page. Just hit play and listen. It's great.
Yeah. And that's kind of what, you know, Blueberry is different than a lot of the other hosting companies, where we want you to promote you and not us. So everything's at your domain and all that. And, you know, of course, we don't want to make this a big commercial. This is about you. So any other interesting stories or something that's happened because of your podcast?
I guess the thing that's happened is hearing from people that I do not know and have never heard about has said, I heard your episode on blank. I am now following you. You're speaking to the anxiety that I feel, and I'm hopeful that I can learn from this and develop skills so that, you know, I get out of this job that I hate. And the only reason I'm taking it is because it's paying the bills or it's giving me health insurance. And I want to change my life so that my work is happier and more meaningful. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what I do this for, is to help people to make their lives better and to make the work that they do meaningful. That's my goal.
Yeah, and it's a worthy goal for sure. I know I'm a whole lot happier now that I'm doing something that I feel is helpful to the world, you know, even my small little part of it. But yeah, when you get out of bed in the morning and you've got to drag yourself to something you hate, it's just not a way to live.
Well, you know, many years ago when I started in work, and even when I started in recruiting, the motivation that a lot of people had was money. It was money and success. I want a job that's going to give me a good living, if not a great living. And throughout my years in recruiting, I've kind of seen that value proposition wither away. Pew Charitable Trust owns Pew Research, and they do insight. They gather insight on a lot of really interesting topics. And one of them has to do with the American dream. Well, when you and I were growing up, our parents told us the American dream was upward mobility, that anybody could get a job, could get an education, could get all the trappings of success, a house, a car, send their kids to college, go on annual vacations. Well, you know, my daughter, her American dream may be not going into debt, into being financially stable. But I think the real American dream should be that we all get to do work that makes us joyful, or at least has a profound effect on us and makes the world a better place. And I know that sounds kind of trite, but I've spoken to so many thousands of people in my career who are burned out on work. And, you know, if you're spending at the very least a third of your day at the office and you're not enjoying what you're doing, then there's something wrong with that. We have to help people get to a better place, because if they're happier, they're healthier. And if they're healthier, they contribute more to where they work and to society. And that's how we get the world to become a better place.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm 100% agreeing with that. You know, like I say, it's the American dream back, like when we were kids, definitely was, you know, money, money, money. And, you know, be able to afford the house with the white picket fence and the fancy cars and, you know, whatever. And nowadays, you know, there's so many people that are doing work that they love that may not pay quite as much as, you know, as some of the other careers, but, you know, they're going to live longer and they're going to be happier.
Well, and I'm not talking to people to say quit your job tomorrow. No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, but no, of course not.
Let's find ways that maybe that job that you don't find meaning in that's positive, let's find ways at the very least to make it more meaningful. You know, maybe your company needs to pivot into more social responsibility, doing more programs that helps the community where you work, or maybe helps the environment around you where you work. Maybe if your company doesn't have a position like a sustainability manager, you could grow into that position. By the way, still doing the job that you've been hired to do and do very well. But maybe that pivot into coordinating a sustainability or social responsibility response, maybe that's what you need. And maybe that's enough to get you to a place of happiness.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, you can make any job meaningful. That's, you know, another way of looking at it. And, you know, you look at the janitor at a school, you know, that I'm sure, you know, there's people that absolutely love that job because they get to interact with the kids, the teachers, you know, and other people would think it was, you know, something, you know, below them. And, you know, that's not necessarily true. You know, there's jobs out there that, you know, people would absolutely hate. And there's the other people that absolutely love that job. And you can even change your attitude about the job you have. I totally get that.
I think some people now, too, are worried about artificial intelligence. Are they going to be replaced by a robot? I can understand that, especially if you're a truck driver. You know, in 20 years' time, we might have long-haul trucks on the road at 2 o'clock in the morning that are commanded by a robot, keeping them on the road. So there's a lot of people that love trucking who may have fewer jobs at their disposal. But the one thing I've learned, and we hope to get into in future seasons of the podcast, is are the value propositions that AI cannot do. Artificial intelligence has a brain. It doesn't have a heart. You had mentioned you were in graphic design. That work is so bound by the heart and imagination. Those are things that a robot can't do or can't do well. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for meaningful work of the heart that are creative, that help people with empathy and do the things that HAL 9000 in the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey were completely incapable of doing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, with the trucking, you know, a lot of people say that can't happen. Well, you know, it may at some point. I was listening to another podcast and I don't remember what podcast it was, but it was about AI and they were talking about, you know, even though self-driving cars so far, you know, they're in testing and all that, self-driving cars are, you know, 98% accurate, but that 2%, you know, that's where humans completely surpass that. So, you know, I could see where maybe someday the trucks will, the long haul part, you know, the freeway part will be done by a self-driving truck. And then the last 10 miles will be by a driver or something like that. And, you know, who knows? Eventually it will get smart enough. I almost guarantee it.
Or it could be something we haven't even imagined. We have so much disruption going on in business and in society and in work. And I'm not a clairvoyant. I don't know what the changes are going to be necessarily. You know, you remember when we used to look at old movies of what the future would look like, and it really, their vision of it doesn't look anything like reality.
Yeah, where's my flying car?
You know what? I'll give you that one. You know, after the Jetsons ruined me when I was a little kid, and I'd say, Mom, I want a flying car.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, there's always people working on that kind of thing, and eventually they'll get to it.
And then we'll have mid-air collisions.
Yeah. Well, you know, they kind of have that now. You know, I have a lot of friends that are airline pilots and, you know, they're kind of, you know, people are trying to, you know, eliminate right now that you have to have at least two pilots in the cockpit. Right. And they're trying to eliminate one of them. They say, well, we can remote control the airplane, you know, if the one pilot goes out. And then, you know, other people are saying that, you know, well, really all they do is push one button and all that, but there's a lot more to it. And if something goes wrong, if you don't have somebody up there that, you know, can think, you're going to have trouble.
I wouldn't want a robot piloting my plane. I want somebody who's had a lot of flight hours of training. I've been in enough weird landings at airports to know that when a pilot is on final approach and severe weather comes in, you want him working or her working that plane to the best of their ability, not a robot.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. But you know, it's just jobs like that, you know, like the trucking and all that. And you know, that's, It's just the way the market is. And let's get back to the shameless plug section here.
Sure.
So how do people find you on social, on, you know, we find your podcast, all that stuff. And we'll, have, of course, have links in the show notes for this episode.
Well, of course, you can find me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. What did I leave out? At Dan Smolin on Twitter. Dan Smolin and the Dan Smolin Experience on Facebook, and on LinkedIn, I'm on there as well as the Dan Smolin Experience, or as Dan Smolin. Please reach out to me. I'm also on a lot of different networks, as they say.
Oh yeah,
wherever you get your podcasts. Picking up a lot of people on Spotify now, which is great, and of course Apple Podcasts is a big draw for us.
Sure, sure. And of course, the website, dansmolin.com, and click on the podcast tab there. You can see the latest few episodes there and subscribe and all that good stuff. But yeah, definitely take a listen. I listened to the last couple episodes, and the whole thing about pizza makes me hungry.
Yeah, me too. I haven't had breakfast today.
So, anyway, anything else you want to say before we cut this off?
Well, the one thing I would want to say, and I probably mirror the experience of a lot of Blueberry podcasters, is I'm doing the work of my dreams now. I love podcasting. I love communicating with people. Love hearing back from them, and making what I do on the Tightrope with Dan Smolin meaningful to them and actionable. I really appreciate the time to talk to you today, Mike.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, and we'll get this up and out, and I'll let you know when it's available.
Thank you.
Great interview, Mike. And I tell you, one thing that we'll want to do here is remind folks again, we are at the point now where we are, it looks like, pretty much caught up. Now, I have an interview Friday, but if you want to be on the Insider, this is a great time to basically raise your hand and tell your Genesis story, because we're looking for those interviews that can set in this show every week. So put your name forth. But let's move into some, and you can reach out Todd at Blueberry, Mike at Blueberry, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And any one of the three of us. So don't be shy. So Mike, you got some stuff going on at support. What's happening with support?
Yeah, having a rash of people that have changed their password at blueberry.com for whatever reason, and they're using PowerPress, and they end up contacting us, panicking that it says that they're not authorized to upload anymore from PowerPress. Well, the thing is that PowerPress needs that password change. When you change your password at blueberry.com and your PowerPress is logged into blueberry.com, you need to change that login so that they stay linked. Because otherwise, you know, they can't be linked. And the error message that comes up says something about not authorized or whatever, and that just kind of freaks people out. But basically all it is you need to go into your services and stats and just reconfigure the hosting and stats service by logging into Blueberry.
So basically when they change their password to blueberry.com, they have unlinked their settings between PowerPress and Blueberry. That doesn't automatically resync.
Right, right. I wish it could, but there's just no technical way of doing that just yet. So, whenever you change a password, or if you have us change your email address, you also have to re-log in. So whatever your login is currently at Blueberry is what you need to have there. And that goes for hosting customers and just stats customers as well. So,
I've had a few of those come into me too. And some of my own people that podcast with me at my personal site, they said, I can't get in. I can't log. I said, you change your password? Yep. All right. Resync.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. And, we just have to get it out there. So the other thing, I just spent several hours helping somebody migrate their show in from another host, and that other host was not too picky about the file names.
I saw the file name structure, and it was insane.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, simple is better. I mean, you know, try not to write out a big long explanation of the file in the MP3 file name. That has nothing to do with SEO. It just makes everything complicated. It's really hard to find a file. It's really hard to move things around. Like I said, I ended up having to basically hand rewrite some XML code to make this migration work. And it was, it was a little bit labor intensive. So I just want to say, you know, the simpler your file names, the better. Like I said, for this show, we just use the date. And I think that's about it, really. I forget what it's the file name, but anyway, it's just initials and then the date and .mp3, and it's super, super simple.
Right.
And that way, you know, if we ever have to move this show around, which may happen, it's going to be easy.
That's
and
right.
And we're going to know what show goes with what.
Right.
So, and another one I keep running into is people will call, I get this error that says I'm out of space, you know, when they're uploading, and they ask me what that means. I said, well, that means you're out of space.
You're out of storage is maybe what it should say.
Yeah. But I mean, you're out of your monthly quota, because, you know, that's how we charge for hosting, is whatever quota you have. That's how much you get to upload. Plus we give you 25% extra. But a lot of times what happens is they accidentally upload the wrong file. So, you know, they were working on a file and it's a WAV file, but they also have the MP3, but then they upload the WAV and that'll kill your space. I mean, instantly. So make sure you uploaded the right file. I've also seen the AUP file, the Audacity project file or whatever get uploaded, or even Audition. So you want to make sure that you're uploading the correct file. It should be an MP3 and should be, you know, 128 kilobits per second or 64, 96, something reasonable. You know, because if you upload a 320, that's going to be, you know, way bigger than your norm. So just make sure you uploaded the right file.
I hear this a lot too. You know, I hear a lot of content creators that are really recording much, much, you know, at a much higher bit rate than they need to. And, you know, I really, if you're over 128 kilobit stereo, you're really overkill. You don't need to be any bit higher than that for audio.
Yeah, it's most people are listening on the crappy earbuds that come with their phone, or they're listening through Bluetooth, which, you know, 128 is plenty. That's it's nearly CD quality. You know, and 64 if you're doing it mono will sound about the same.
About the same. So, just, you know, just be aware of that. You know, we love you when you pay us more for storage, but I would not be it wouldn't be nice of me to tell you to be recording it to 256. That would just be lining my pockets, and I don't need to do that. We want to make sure that, you're getting the efficient utilization of our service. And it really boils down to, you know, that file size, you know, and if you're recording too large, you're just really kind of paying too much money than what you would need to on your storage. So just be aware of that.
Yep. And the key thing, if you see an error in quotes or a message from PowerPress or from Blueberry or from whatever other service, actually read it, because it usually means what it says. I don't mean to sound simplistic, but sometimes people, you know, when I was in the military, actually had a pilot write up something that said air conditioning doesn't work in the OFF mode. You know, well, he didn't read it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the kind of thing. So, you know, just look at the message that you've gotten, and that'll usually tell you where to go. But, you know, contact us if you still don't understand or need a little help clearing it up.
Sure. So that's going to bring us to the end of Podcast Insider. Again, we've got availability right now if you want to be on the Podcast Insider and tell your Genesis story about your show. And again, there's really no like major requirement here. We're not being too overly heavy-handed on who we want to be on the show. We're basically being very open, and we want to hear your story. Yeah. So you know, put your name in the ring, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear your story. So send us an email. I'll be doing some recruiting in the social media forums as well. And you'll know if we're out of recordings if you hear Mike's and I story. Yeah, because that's always
in reserve.
That's what we're gonna do. If and again, this show's about you and helping you build your podcast. So we want to thank you for hanging out with us today on Podcast Insider. And again, I'm Todd at blueberry.com. Mike.
I'm Mike at blueberry.com or MGDell on Twitter.
And we'll see you next week here on the Podcast Insider. And I'll be in Columbus next week with you, Mike. So looking forward to that.